All right, happy Matzei Shabbos to all. We're holding on Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph right at the Mishnah. We'll start off with a rousing
Zukta Heilige Mishnah.
Mishi Atza, Lelech Beir Shema Arvimba. Now, this is a Mishnah that we referred to earlier. Somebody who is going to a town. You know, of course, we already know because we peeked ahead in the previous sugya what this is about. The guy actually owns a deer in the other town itself, but we don't know that yet. So let's wipe the slate for a moment. The guy is going to a city that is possible to be married to. In other words, it's within 4,000. Total. And as he's going on the road, his friend calls him back, and we'll see to what extent he calls him back. It's one thing if he calls him back for a phone call, it's another thing if he calls him back by persuading him it's not a good idea to walk, or it's too cold, or so on. But in any event, his friend calls him back. Nonetheless, he can, the next morning, he could still go to his house in the other town, it'll turn out it's referring to. So in other words, he has a kosher eruv. The chol b'nei ha'ir asurim tivi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir omer, kol shehu yachol la'arev v'lo yirev, reizach amar gamar. The guy over here didn't tell us where his eruv is. Didn't put down the eruv. And since he didn't do it right now, he's really messed up. Because his intent was to leave his current location. He didn't get his Eruv in the location that he should have put an Eruv down to in order to get to the other town. So the only area that he can walk is as much as he's allowed to walk on the side at which that Eruv was placed. Because if that would have been an Eruv, it would have limited him in that direction by the number of Amot outside of Tchum. It is. It's put all the way at the end of the Tchum, and he cannot walk in the other direction at all. And he walked between his home and that Eruv.
If it's a full 2,000.
Yeah, if you put, yeah, in other words, it takes off from the other side whatever number of Amot it extends in the other direction. That we're going to have to see, because there's a number of different ways of understanding what it is that Rabbi Meir is saying. I mean, let's just note the issues that are involved over here. Issue number one is that it's clear that the guy had to start going. In other words, he's turned into the status of an Ani, because it says he was already Machzik B'derek. When did he start off to go? Apparently that is significant. If he hadn't started off to go, then everything would be different. Perhaps Rabbi Yud in that case wouldn't have said.
On Shabbos even.
No. Erev Shabbat. Mm-hmm. Started to go, and now he was returned. So first of all, we know that that's important. We know that the importance of that, of course, is that it makes him into an ani, which allows him the eruv of a third type, which is his ability to provide coordinates. Doesn't say over here that he even said he was going to have an eruv. That's another issue. Is this an assumption that since he owns a property in the other city and therefore it is his derech that he goes from this place to the other, that he obviously has a place in which he owns the name? Doesn't mean he tell us more like an undan chazaka that this guy has a name. Then the question is when Rabbi Meir says kosher yachol la'arev, we could understand that as meaning that Rabbi Meir objects to calling a guy like this an ani because he knows perfectly well what it is that he's doing while he was in his house. Maybe according to Rabbi Meir, the case of an ani is where he's caught on the road, not where he leaves his house and then decides, why bother? I'll go back to take the phone call and I'll stay here and it'll be just as good as mine. Because after all, for 3 minutes that I started walking to the other town, I was an ani, technically speaking. So I was Kena there and now I can go back home. Maybe Rabbi Meir doesn't know that. Maybe Rabbi Meir says, that's a fake out. That's not an ani. Why don't you put an eruv down there?
Well, he didn't get there.
But I don't understand what your objection. We know Rabbi Meir agrees to the concept of an ani, and that an ani can make eruvim of the third type. The question was whether he said ani and only an ani on even eruvim of the second type. He certainly agrees that there are eruvim of the third type, of coordinates. So what's the issue over here? There's two ways of understanding it. The issue may be that he's not a real ani, because since he was in his house, he knew where he needed to go. He wasn't caught on the road. So maybe someone who's not caught on the road does not come under the rubric ani, according to Rabbi Meir. So he has more strict standards about how to define the nature of the ani. Maybe he doesn't hold to this whole business here.
He got back before Shabbos. Back his
own. He never leaving. Basically. So he called him after he took the three feet and started to walk.
He started being an ani, and then he got back to being an osher.
Correct. But even when he was an ani, he wasn't an ani. Because he started off from his house, and he knew where he was going. So maybe Rabbi Meir is saying, why don't you take an eruv with you if you want to have an eruv? Or why don't you at least get there and have an eruv with your body? What is this business of using coordinates? Because the guy calls you back for a phone call? So now you decide, now I don't have to go? I was yaitzin? What is this, so maybe that's his objection. Or we might understand that the Mishnah is talking about a case where he never said anything. Doesn't say he said anything. Maybe he never said anything. If he never said anything, maybe what Rabbi Meir is saying, look, if you wanted an Eruv, you should have said so. Don't rely on our assumption that since you normally go to your home, therefore that's an Eruv. So therefore, you're sort of stuck now, because we don't, maybe it's a suffix. We don't know whether this is a good Eruv. You never said whether it was an Eruv. Therefore, you're a Chamar Gamal between these two places. Again, these are various issues. Remember, there's a lot of elements here. Just the definition of Ani, the definition of Yitzhak Baderech, there's the definition of Amira, the necessity of Amira, and where you can make Eruvin of the third kind.
The ratio of Rabbi Yehuda. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, what's
We don't know yet. We don't know. Right now, we're a blank slate. Now, let's see what we can put back in from our previous ideas. So once again, the Gemara asks the question that it asked the last time that we discussed the Mishnah. Maishna you, Maishna inu, I don't get it. What's the difference between him and everybody else? How come he can go and nobody else can go? We're talking about a guy who owns a Shabbat home and another city. Always goes there. Now, between these two locations are 4,000 amos. He's able to get there if he leaves an Eruv there, or if he makes an Eruv by being there, or if he defines the place. So, Ihu, given enough Iklelu Urcha, because the moment he begins walking, and he intended to go to his house, at that moment he becomes an Ani, Avanayani, technically. Nothing with him. All the rest of the people who are in the town and are in their homes are technically defined as Ashiri. And therefore, even if they would have liked to go, they didn't start going. They didn't start going. And how could they create an Eruv of this new type? Of that, as long as I'm going there, it's sufficient. Well, you didn't say what happened over here. It isn't clear. Because, again, we still don't know. It didn't say that this guy even said he's making an error. So if you're willing to rely on a chazak, that a person normally that goes somewhere definitely has in das to be there. Helvier, he never went. He ended up coming home. So what's the difference?
He has two houses.
But what happens? Everybody else has got a house. How come they can't go? He's the only man in the whole town who can go. He didn't leave. He went back home to catch a phone call. I understand. Why is he different than anybody else? Wait. So now we're saying the chiddush that he's different than anybody else is the fact that he started to walk. Starting to walk is enough. The rest of the people didn't start to walk, so they never entered into the set of aniyim. Tanin amihak. In fact, the Braita explains that, you know, a lot of this is hidden from view in the Mishnah. I mean, very unclear what it means. In the Braita, it says clearly that we were right. When we figured it out, it's got to be this. In other words, it's crazy. What do you mean? A guy starts to go to another town and go to another town. What is that supposed to mean? So clearly we're dealing with something over here that should give us a reason to believe that he's got an heir and that he intended actually to go somewhere else. So we figured out logically, oh, he must have another house, so that even though he came home here because his friends called him back, that doesn't mean that he changed his mind about going because he's got another home. So somebody who's got two homes, in going back to your home, you don't show that you changed your mind for going to the other home, did you? So if you're telling me he was going to greet a chacham at the other end, fine, okay, changed his mind and went back home. But if he owns a home in the other city, so now I don't need to say that he changed his mind and went back home. That must be the case. And indeed, when we figured out on our own, we might have thought it's a little bit nervy to say that that's the case. But the Braita says, Beferusha, that's the case.
He has a friend of his uncle lives there. Why shouldn't there be enough?
Because once he changed his mind and went back, why should we say he's still going to go? So if you have two places where you live, then we say, okay, so you went there. So you decide to stay here for the night. So you go to your other house for the day. What's the big problem? So therefore, the Braita says, indeed, Macha, the case is Misha Yeshua Shnei Batim. It starts off like this. Somebody owns two homes. The Chiddush is that Kibun Shechzik Baderech Kana Eruv, the Rebbe. Again, we're not even sure whether he needed to say that he needs to have an Erev in the middle, which is where he needs to be. Yeter Akeh. Now here, the Braita introduces a new Shita, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who goes further than Rabbi Yehuda did. Yeter Akeh, beyond what Rabbi Yehuda was mat, says Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Afilu Matzolcha Veiro. Now, what does that mean? Matzo Chaviro before he left? Matzo Chaviro after he left? Another vague statement. Even if his friend found him, Vamarlo, lean po, you should stay here. Eit Chamau, it's a Chamsina, what are you going to walk to the other town? It's so hot. Or Eit Sinau, it's freezing. What are you going to go out there now? You're going to walk all the way out there. And he goes back. Lamakar Mashkim Valif. He could still wake up in the morning and he could be Alech to his other home. Omar Rabba says Rabba. Okay, I mean, all of the elements over here have not been defined. I think the way to understand the Mishnah is like this. There's a number of different ways of learning Rabba, unfortunately. Let's learn the way Rashi's second pshat is, which many of the other Mishonim agree to, and which Rashi himself feels, even though it's not the pshat he was Makabo in the Gemara from his Rebbe, he feels it makes much more sense. This is like this. Lomar? The question of whether he needs to say, I want an Erev at such and such coordinate, which is Eruvim of the third time. That's for sure. We're relying over here on the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah explained what to do if you need an Eruv and you can't get there. You're not able, don't want to run there or whatever, right? So, okay.
The Tzorech that he needs what?
He needs to, Lomar. He needs to say. Lomar is a quote, Lomar, unquote. Yeah. To say it, everybody agrees he has to say it. That wasn't the issue over here. He plige lahachazik. The question is that when it says, Rabbi Yehuda holds that the guy actually had to be on the road, and then you call him. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, afilu matzolcha veiro. His friend finds him before he leaves and says to him, what are you putting on your coat for? He says, I'm planning on going to, nah, it's boiling out there. What do you need today?
It's not the same as, in other words, he's saying it's not the same as Bavar Zero Chavir.
Yeah, exactly. You don't need to actually be machzik baderech. It's sufficient and to be pulled. back. It's sufficient to simply determine that you want your Erev there. So in other words, that's where Rabbi Yossi is coming out to be cholik on the chumrah of what turns you into an ani. So he, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's dafki chazik, and he's coming on, you don't even need that. You're kena an Erev by intent to go, not necessarily by being in a state of an ani at that moment. But of course he has to have said, we're not even mentioning that. Nobody said that, not in the Mishnah, not in the Brayta. Nobody even mentioned that the Amar shvitati b'makom ploni, because it wasn't necessary. That was the last Mishnah. I'm going to repeat it again. So of course it's talking about that he said. Otherwise, how could it be? Rabbi Yossi says, Sorry. Of course, both are talking about that he did leave the house. Matzot Chaviro doesn't mean he found it before he left. Because we certainly hold that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you need to be an Ani. In order to be established as an Ani, you have to have been at least for a moment in a position which you don't have availability of the alternatives. Keep pleading, Lomar. The machlokus between Rabbi Yossi over here in the Brayta and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is taking for granted that what I said in the previous Mishnah, you heard me, I said, Omer Shvitati, Ikarosh, Alilan, and so on, that'll be sufficient. I say the same thing is true over here, even though he went back home. Rabbi Yossi says, Yeter Alkin. The guy never even started on the road, so he never made any statement. He was planning on going. What does he have to now even to say? It's clear that he intends it, and therefore the Dibur is unnecessary. Comes along Rabbi Meir now, according to this, and Rabbi Meir says, well, we don't know now. I mean, what happened over here is that no matter what the cases are, whether I don't care whether he said, whether he didn't say, I argue on all of you. Because as far as I'm concerned, someone who was in his home and started going out to get to a place and knew that his intent was to get to a place that he could only get to Kutzitchum with an Erev, he should have taken an Erev with him. Either take an Erev or else be there in person. What kind of business is this? And according to the chat that we said, Rabbi Meir argues on being there in person also that you have to be an Ani. So then the Iker, according to Rabbi Meir, the Iker, and this is Rabbi Nachman's chat that we came out proving yesterday, the Iker Erev is Bipat. So Rabbi Meir is saying, look, if you're not an Ani, don't try to fool us and say, well, technically I'm an Ani. I walked out of the front door. When you walked out of the front door, you knew perfectly well where you were going. You intended to make an Erev. When you walk out of a door to make an Erev, take an Erev with you. Therefore, and that's his lashon, kosher hu yachol la'arev. A guy wanted, and he's able. He knows what he's doing. He has path in his own. You could have made an Erev, and you didn't make an Erev. So now you're in trouble, because now you gave up your makom shvita on the other side of your house, because I only want to go in that direction. But you weren't taking an Erev, because you didn't do it correctly. So b'meila, you're now stuck. You can't go in the direction that you would have gone, because in your mind, your makom shvita was over there, but you were never counted that makom shvita. So therefore, you lose your rights vis-a-vis the other side.
To go further.
To go back in the other direction. Yeah. And you never got your rights to go further.
To go to the end.
That's you can walk between these two. Now again, this doesn't point out earlier. This is not the same as being on the road, in which case Rabbi Meir says you can't go anywhere. You can't move because you lost everything. That's because you don't have a makom shvita over here. We don't assume that the person is giving up on his real home in this city, because he can go back to his real home. But he is back, but he can't extend back to it. Okay. So then, according to this, we have a three-way machloket. And we have a two-way machloket about what the three-way machloket is, right? We have a three-way machloket between Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda? And then we have a two-way machloket now in how to explain that between Rabba and between the Rabbi Yosef, who explains that he certainly has to be mocked, even according to everybody. Yeah, okay. No, we don't want to get into too much of the math over here, because we get depressed.
Also, though, when we say he only goes in one direction, and he can't go in the other direction, right, but he has the entire city as his
well,
domain. If he is in it, yeah, he has his entire city.
He has his, yeah, correct. Now, Keman Oz Vahadi Oma Ula. So when Ula says, Mishi Echzik Baderv Vichziro Chaveiro Arehu Muchzak. Now, one thing we have to know before we begin is that Ula, being an Amora, would generally be Mefarish more than a Bright. Okay, so you'll notice what Ula says is always says Mishir Zik Baderach. Doesn't say a word about saying anything. Right? So Mishir Zik Baderach Zero Kaderach Oreu Muchzar Muchzar Muchzar. What does Muchzar Muchzar? Ask the Gemara. What is that supposed to mean? Muchzar means okay, he's been returned. Meaning forget about it. Muchzak means he's got his place that he wanted to have a Chazaka in his Makom Shvita. Well, you can't have it both ways. Either you're Muchzak. Ask the Gemara. I don't get it. In Muchzar. How can you be both? Answers the Gemara, what Ula meant was Otikomer. Arei hu Muchzar, and nonetheless he's Muchzar. That's what he's saying. Afa Pisha Muchzar, he's still Muchzar. What does that mean? So come on. So what we mean over here is that he didn't say anything. And none, so he's totally Muchzar, never in the, and yet he's still Muchzar.
He gets
that place. Who would say such a pshat?
Go all the way.
Lechora, it's only Rabbi Yosef, leave it to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. right? Because if you don't know the Rebbe, like Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda, and you were therefore in this case, because according to him, you didn't say anything. We're assuming you didn't say anything. You didn't say anything about saying anything. It's only Rebbe Yosef who says that in not saying something, Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda would still hold that that's okay. Certainly, according to Rabbi held that you certainly need to say, and over here, neither of them hold. It'd be even worse, according to Rebbe Yehuda, in which you have to also be on the way. But if you don't have to say it's going like Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, he says you don't have to be on the way. Over here, he clearly says he does have to be on the way, so he moves out and moves back. So it only works out according to Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, and only according to Rebbe Yosef, who says that Lomar is exactly what they're arguing in. So according to Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, says, what do you have to say it for? You don't have to say it. Right? Now, Rebbe Yehuda bar Ishtata had an actual maisa. He brought a gift of a bowl of fruit to Rav Nosson Bar Oshia. So I say, like, I'll call it the prayer of Nosson Bar Oshia, is right before Shabbos, he's going to go home. Ki Abba Yazio, when he was about to leave, Shavke, Rav Nosson Bar Oshia allowed him to leave the house. Ad Nachi Darg, until he went down once already. Before he started on the road, Omar Lehi shouts to him, you know what? Beit Hacha, why don't you stay over here? Stay here tonight. And he did. Lamacha Kodavazio. Tomorrow, the next day, he was able to go and he left. So now, who's that going according to? Because he obviously, Rav Nosson held, he had to start walking. That's why you let him walk down. Otherwise, he could have argued with him in the house. So, assuming now that it's talking that he didn't say anything, he doesn't say anything about saying anything, right? So, apparently, you need to be Machzi, but you don't need to be Lomar. If that's the case, and it would be Rav Yosef, at least Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda. So, are you telling me that the halakas like Rav Yosef, because usually, I mean, when it's a question of Rav Yosef and Rabba, we have a klal, Gilchatat Rabba against Rav Yosef, and there's only three places in Shas where we pass Rav Yosef against Rabbah. Therefore, the Gemara is rather struck by the fact that he would have, Rav Nosson would have said, as a Dover Poshet, the way to handle this problem is to let you go down. Once you go down, you're already Machzi, even though you weren't Lomar. And that's Rav Yosef's trap. But the question is whether you need Lomar, but that both Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, and Rav Yehuda agree you need to have Lachzi. Strange. He's passing like Rav Yosef. He's passing like Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda against Rav Yehuda. No, Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda were only two sheep as mentioned in the Mishnah. Does the Gemara? No. Not necessarily. You're assuming. I mean, you were assuming all along that he didn't say anything over here. Maybe not. Maybe he did say it. We're just taking for granted that he said, because, I mean, we know that's a Mishnah, and therefore saying was necessary. The question was whether he needs to be Mazi on the road. So therefore, it could be going like Rabbah, and it could be going like Rabbah's Pshat in Rav Yehuda. And obviously, it could also be going according to Rav Yosef, because I'm going to hear what it's saying is you need both. I mean, Rav Yosef also said you need, according to Rav Yehuda, you need both. You need Lomar, you need Lachzi. But since the whole thing that bothered us is why are we saying a case of Libet Rav Yosef, the Gemara wants to say, no, we're not saying a case of Libet Rav Yehuda. It works out perfectly well, according to Rabbah, a Libet Rav Yehuda, which is the way we would want it to work out, mitzad the halacha, because that follows our rules of psak. So we'd like to have it that way. That doesn't mean once we insert already a change of case, we're saying that it's not when he did say he wants an order, it's no longer a big issue. This could work out according to anybody. But this is what we choose because this way we answer the tmihav, why he would pass him against the klalei halacha. Whereas Rabbi Meir says, well, now look, if he was Yachol Arev and he wasn't, didn't do an Erev, then Harei Zeh Chamar Gamal. What is this Chamar Gamal jazz? I mean, why does he have to say that? Hatanina Chadazimna. We had this all the way back in Bavlamed. Hey, I mean, it was an old Shiloh. We had the question over there if the Erev, remember, had rolled out of the club or if a building had collapsed over the Erev. We didn't know whether that happened before Shabbat or whether it happened after Shabbat. Right? It's the question of the Safek Erev. Once it would have been there at the beginning of Shabbat, it would have been kosher. We don't know if it was there. We said over there, look, in any case where you have a Safek, it's a Chamar Gamal situation. You're left with your area in between your original location and this Erev, which may or may not be an Erev. You can't go beyond the Erev, and you can't go in the other direction any further than the Erev would have allowed you. You have to assume the worst. So that's basically what Rabbi Meir is saying, right? All Rabbi Meir needed to say is that since he didn't say he needed an Erev, which is one shot in Rabbi Meir, so it's a suffix. And then we know already every suffix is Chamar Gamal. That was stated clearly in the Mishnah. So why would we have to say it? On Rav Sheish is because lo tema time of the Rabbi Meir suffix. Excuse me, it's not the same at all. Over there, the question was maybe he has an Erev, maybe he doesn't have an Erev. Let me say it's Chamar Gamal. In this case, if we understand Rabbi Meir proper, according to the Rashi and Second Shani, we understand Rabbi Meir properly. Rabbi Meir is saying that's not considered to be an Ani in terms of being allowed to make Erev of the third kind. Because you were in your home, you left your home to make an Erev, and you didn't take pot with you. That's no Erev at all. So I might have thought that in a case of vadai lo irev, in this case he didn't make an erev. You tell me that therefore it's the same as having a building collapse over the erev. We don't know when it is. Maybe you do have an erev over there. But in a case where vadai lo irev, and either he didn't say shvita tiba malchut, or he did say, but he's not a proper, depending on how we understand the Mishnah. So in that case, I'd say if it's vadai not an erev, then I wouldn't say that it's chamar gamal. He's back where he was. He didn't make an erev. So now he has whatever his original tum was. Kamashman, he's still chamar gamal because he was mesalek da'ato from having the same tum as Bnei Yiro, even though he definitely doesn't have an Erev. He thought he had an Erev. And that's not where he wants to spend the Shabbat. So therefore, the Chiddush is, and that I didn't see earlier, that's not the same as Mitgalgel Chutz L'Chum and so on. So if that's the case, I certainly need to know. That's a special case. Comes along now, the Brayta to tell me, the Mishnah to tell me, Afilu Vanei Lo Erev, even if, as in this case, where he's not the kosher Oni, or he didn't say he wants the Eruv, again, depending on which Pshat we're going to say in the Mishnah, nonetheless, he's Chamar Gamal. Da'acha Vanei Lo Erev. And nonetheless, the Mishnah is telling us it remains chamar gamal.
Zuk the Heilige Mishnah.
Mishi yatzar chutz l'tchum. Afilu ama achat, lo yikanes. Once a guy leaves the tchum, here of course we're talking about that he had no rights, he didn't go for Kiddush HaChodesh, where we give him his special where he is. Here he went on his own, b'mezit, nobody dragged him out. He can't, once he leaves, that's it. Even if he's one arm out of the tchum, he can't go back in. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, what do you mean? He has a havla'af tchumim over here. Because he was given four amot, which according to Rabbi Eliezer, b'shitato, is two amot in any direction. Okay, so as long as he didn't go out of the two amot, it's up to shtayim, then he can go in. Shalosh yikanes. Three not. Okay, that's because according to me, four amot equals two amot in any particular direction.
2,000 starts from exactly 10.
Hmm? No. 2,000 stands from the edge of your, whatever that is, your four amot, two amot, depending on the makor.
And then another two after that.
At the end of his 2,000, he has two more.
At the end of his 2,000 amot, the makom that's given to a person who leaves his two amot.
Right.
Okay, so then he has a havla'at tumim. If you hold havla'at tumim, and there was no question before whether this is dependent on the makhlukas of havla'at tumim, but if you feel this is nagei havla'at, as long as he has a havla'at tumim, he wasn't considered to have left his tum completely yet, because it's still, there's that overlap. Not to be confused with the overlap of two different people, which is irrelevant to havla'at tumim. For a completely different mission. Here's the same guy who has his original tum in 2000. He now was given his makom, shvu ishtaktav, but his ishtaktav now intersects his original tum. So he now, at the end, so there's still a havla'a. If you hold a havla'a tumim, and you hold this as nogei havla'a tumim, then he never left. You could still have the original area.
Could he have four hours?
If you don't hold a Rebbe Eliezer, if you hold a Rebbe Yehuda, but this Rebbe Eliezer, which he does. That's the machlokes. Rebbe Eliezer didn't hold it. Huh? Rebbe Eliezer or Shtayim ikanei, shalosh lo ikanei. Omer Chanina, like, how about if he's got like 1 foot in and 1 foot out? Raglo achat betoch hatchum, v'raglo achat chutz hatchum. The halacha is over there, lo ikanei. If you got 1 foot out, you're out. Because the Torah says, im tashiv mi shabbat, it spells raglecha without the yud. So im tashiv mi shabbat raglecha.
1 foot.
So if you keep shabbat even when you left 1 foot out, and nonetheless, you were asot chapatzecha biyom kachi, you were makbid not to do that, and then you're going to be, you're going to be albama seyoret. But if that regular chat, even that, you weren't tashim mishabat raglecha, you're in big trouble.
Why is it worse than 2 amot?
Yeah,
it's arguing. No, 2 amot
plus. Where it is, whatever the point is. But if it's 1 foot out, you're still out. Whatever the place is that makes you out, 1 foot makes you out.
Why should we have 2 amot?
Plus.
Yeah, but this guy has no hands. He's only got foot, so there's no amot.
Means at the end of his place,
wherever his place is.
Plus a foot.
If it's 2 amas,
if it's 2,000 amas, if it's 400 miles, whatever it is, it's plus a foot. Not here, he doesn't. He stuck his foot out of his havla'ah.
It's the end of his 2002. And then he puts 1 foot
out. This is a guy who puts his foot in his mouth.
Yeah, and he puts 1 foot out.
You have a picture.
I mean, that's Rebbe Eliezer. We have to, it depends what sheet, whatever the sheet is. Whatever sheet
is. 1 foot is it?
Yeah. So is this one? Or four? Or none? We have to tell you everybody. Tamaki Ruchla, what do you want me to do over here? Whatever it is, we'll be
asking.
Okay, so why? Because why did, even though the way to pronounce that is Im Tashibi Shabbat Rag, that's the correct pronunciation. It's not written that way. It's written without a yud. It's written raglecha. So we're going to be medayik. The way it's written is 1 foot out. That's the ktiv. Raglecha ktiv. Wait a minute. The brayta. Tanya. Raglo achat betoch hatchum. Raglo achat chutz hatchum. Yikanes. Taita says the exact opposite, that he can go back in if he's got 1 foot out. And that's going according to the Shita of the Acherim. That's Rabbi Meir. The Tanya Acherim Omrim, Lamakom Shelubo Uniskar. You always are viewed as being in the place where most of you is. Most people, most of them will be left behind if they put a foot out. And if not, they're in big trouble anyway. So Mamela, according to Rabbi Meir, Enochinami, it's as if he never left if he only has 1 foot out. The truth is that there's a whole other way in which Rabbi Hanina Shita was set up there, which is Darshan is the way it's pronounced, which works out very well according to this writer. Because he could Amri Omri Bechanina, Raglo Achat Betochatchum, Raglo Achat Chutzatchum. On the contrary, he can ace and go back because he only put 1 foot out. And the Torah says Intashiv Mishabat Raglecha, but it's pronounced Raglecha. Karina. So that means you've got 2 feet, and over here you only put out 1 foot, so you can pull your foot back, standing over the abyss. Okay? So in this version, we ask on him, what about the bright that says, Lo Yikanez? In which he answers, I hold of the other bright, I hold of the Acherim. No, so he with the Omer Kacherim, the Tanya Lamakom Shagubo, whom the Sikar, and that is, and therefore, if you're looking at the Pasuk, it would be according to the Pasuk that pronounces Raglech.
What's the meaning of
Niskar? Niskar is like we had before, Gidi. That she's Zakera Gidi Levat Rosh. Where we pull is, his Bible says, jump him over.
This is the source of the difference between American and Canadian.
You think it's the Pasuk?
Yeah, it must be. In Canadian football, only 1 foot in America. In America,
there's
2 feet in
that. No, okay. So no. Less mils to the Lord of Mises be all right. So, Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Shtayim Yikanes, Shalosh Lo Yikanes. Wait a second. Here it says, 2, you could still go back in, but 3, you can't. But the brightest, as Rebbe Eliezer says, if you only have 1 out, you can go in, but 2, you can't. I don't get it. It depends how you're phrasing it, but you understand. Lakasha. Hada Arkar Chada V'kama Tarta. We say 2 means, okay, you got up to 2. But when it says, if you already were Okar Tarte, in other words, 2, if you're 2 out, that means how far out are you? If you're 1 out, fine. But if you're now beyond the 2 out, then you're not fine. That's just a question of how we phrase it. So, how do you Okar Chod of a Kama Tarte? How do you Okar Tarte, and you're now calm in the 3rd? What? But here, how do you explain this? The Mishnah says, according to Rebbe Eliezer, 2 amot. You want to tell me the difference, 2 amot, 3 amot, whatever. But here it says even 1. No. Confusing the issue. That's not talking about a guy who left. It's talking about a mode. In other words, he is counting how far he gets with his tchum. So he now counts 2,000 steps. His steps land him in the middle of a me'arah. That's it. No further. You don't say, but the whole thing is one thing. No. The whole thing was one thing was only said in a case where a guy doesn't have anything but arba amot. But like this, when you're being modei, there's no generosity. Your tchum ends where it ends, in the middle of a city, in the middle of a me'arah. I mean, that's it. And that's what he was saying. Even one amah, you can't go. You can't go in another amah. But I need to get to the bathroom. It's another amah.
What about
moving boat? What about what? A moving boat. We said, you're not going in there. You don't have to. There's no tchum. Kitanya yin lamodei, titzanu lamodei, shamru notim lo apayim amah, filo sov midado kala b'me'arah. A modei, when we say 2,000 amah, it's 2,000 amah, precisely. That's it. You don't go outside of the 2,000 amah.
Zukta highly commissioned.
No, you would think that if you're measuring your feet, you're counting your 2,000, right? You have a right to walk 2,000 typical steps.
What did he do walking into a Mara? What did he do to walk in?
Because you only have a city when you were there before Shabbat.
But if you have lots of I feel like the whole city would be like a
dollar. Now, is in your own tchum. Where you had a tchum before. Let me talk about that. Start again.
Zukta highly commissioned.
Mi shechashich chutz l'tchum. Afilo ama achat lo yikanes. Guy goes out over here, gets dark for him, and he's 1 lousy ama out of getting into town. Ah, I don't believe it. Stop the sun! It just keeps on moving. So he's stuck there. He can't come into the tomb. He's now up to as far as he can go, and he can only go beyond that where it is that he was going to Shemitah. He doesn't get the tomb of the city. So if he needed to get to the other side of town, he's 1 minute away from being allowed to walk the next 500 miles if it's a big enough city. What's the name of that town in China that could easily be 500 miles? It's bigger than Israel.
A city?
Oh, yeah, much bigger than Israel. 38 million people. One city.
No,
it's a small town. Okay, so over here, he couldn't get into town, therefore he's stuck with what, I mean, obviously he can move where he is, 2,000 amot, but that 2,000 amot doesn't get him the tchum that he'd like to have, which is to be a member of the city, to have now the right to walk as far as he wants from the city. Can't do that. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no, there's a little bit of leeway over here, gentlemen. Something maybe not everybody knows, but we put up those signs in the wrong way. So even if you're 15 amot away, don't worry about it. worry about it. The sign that says this is the end of the Trum isn't real. The sign is 15 amot closer to town than you really think. So therefore, if you're within 15 amot of the sign, you're okay. They have built an error protection.
Markers of Trum.
Because the measurers with those ropes, the Meshuchot, they're not mimatzeh. They don't use up every, they don't suck up every last bit of space that they could, because people will make errors.
Who would you
and me. In other words, they leave you a little bit of leeway. If somebody's walking, passes the marker, wait a minute, what was that marker? That's behind them at this point. So is he in the Trum or out of the Trum? They give him a little bit of leeway. Okay, that's one shot. And the other shot is, because according to that, where do you get 15 amot?
Yeah, exactly.
So according to that shot, 15 amot is sort of arbitrary. So Rashi says, yeah, okay, approximately, you know, whatever. But even a serious amount of space, you take your chances, you know. But the other shot that Rashi has is Ein HaMeshuchot, the ropes are not Mematzeh of the Trum, because the people who use the ropes have an error. What's their error? Their error is that they remember that the ropes are 50 amot. So you measure 40 of these ropes and you got the Trum. So that's the way they would do it. They would use the Meshuchot. The problem is that the Meshuchot have the grasping area. So a grasping area, which is the handle area, takes up a tefach, plus your thumb over it, which when closed around it is another half an etzvah, because it comes across the rest of your finger. So what happens is that in 40 of these, and you've got one on the other end, in 40 of these, you've got 80 tefachim, and you've got another... Each time you've got one etzba, half on either end, you've got another 40, which just happens to equal 10, which 10 tefachim, 40 etzba, right? Which equals, just happens to equal 90, which divided by 6 just happens to equal 15, which is perfect, says Rashi. So there you go. That explains why that's 15 amot. You see, you have your makor machiza. They think that the rope is meant to be 40 times including the beit achiza. So they're wrong. The truth is we allow this to be wrong, and we popularize it, perhaps, because of the toin. So the guys who are measuring really think that they finished 40 amot. But they're also making a mistake. 40. But they're wrong.
So toin is not the traveler, it's the measure.
Well, but the truth is, I mean, it's crazy, but we just give instructions, put a little instruction booklet with it, or allow makamachi. That's the point, that there's a two pshatim and machazik each other. We're happy this way. You know, it gives us a little bit of leeway, so that we've got some spread. If somebody is stuck, or if he passes the sign, you can always rely that that's the way that it was. And that gives us precisely 15 amot, according to this. That's what he meant.
You don't have to worry about the guy buys the rope buying 50.
No, these are standardized ropes. They're Trum ropes. What do you mean? You walk into a hardware store, you don't ask for a 50 amot rope. You ask for a Trum measure.
Well, it depends on who's hepsher again.
Of course.
So then
I don't want a Chazanish Trum rope. That would be Lakula.
That's right. But this, so what about the previous mission that we're worried about?
Boy,
one or two.
Boy, could we have a new one up and chain? Oh, we could start selling Rakhayim Noah Trum rope. So, hamidah. The problem over here would be the ta'ut in the measurement, would be the way that Rashi would learn it. He's referred to it. Hadrin alav misha hotzi. Ketzad me'abrim et ha'arim. How do you get a city pregnant? So, bayit nichnas, because we know what this means. It means that when a city is pregnant, meaning as one area that juts out, more like Yerushalayim with Hadassah. Hadassah was a very significant extension of you before they built Har Noach. Hadassah was an extreme extension of Yerushalayim to the west. And there was nothing else. I mean, it was all mountainous. Everyone you drove on the road, and people would tell you, don't say Tfilat HaDerech until Motzei. What, are you crazy? We've been driving for half an hour in those days. You know, what are we, Motzei? But the truth is that Hadassah goes all the way out to Motzei, except Yerushalayim is on the other end of the town. So that is the process of Ibur Ha'ir. What we do is we draw a line along Hadassah, and wherever it cuts across, all the way across the western side, we draw it northwest, north-south, and the western line is now extended along the entire city, just because of that one small area.
To the southern end,
from the southern end to the northern end, because of the extension to the west.
The entire western end.
A line drawn south, north-south, is extended to the west significantly.
Measures the western exit.
Right.
The western
exit. Space or
all that space is now incorporated. That space is now incorporated in the city limits.
And you have 2,000 past that.
Right. So this is now an invisible line that builds the city into a square or a rectangle. It needs to be squared. So how do we do that? Well, you have a bayit nichnas and a bayit yetzeh. I mean, a normal city where you don't have a wall around the city. So you got, you know, even we have developments, some houses stick out more than the others. The measurement of what is considered to be sticking out, by the way, and still incorporated in the city, goes back to our original idea of the chatzer ha-mishkan, which became the measurement of a place of the Beit Atayim. If you take that Beit Sa, remember that's the Shlouk of Ladira. So in terms of a measurement of distance, the Beit Sa Atayim now became our standard for something that's within the same Ukaf Ladira, so to speak, as another. Now, since that Beit Sa Atayim, which is 5,000 square amot, because of the way the Mishkan is 50 by 100, but the Beit Sa Atayim is taken as a measurement as a square. So it's a 5,000 square amot square, which gives it the square root of 5,000 amot on each side. So, I mean, yeah, approximately that's 70, but that only gets you 4,900. So that is where we come up with our shear. The square, it's basically the square now of the 5,000. That will be our shivim amot v'shirayim that it takes to get from the 49 to the 50, basically, to build up a square. So that becomes, as we'll see, that defines how far out a house can be. Once it's beyond that, then it's, we don't extend the city. It's not even part of the city. It's its own city.
If there's a separation from this house to the rest
right.
of the city.
But as long as something extends within 70, the whole city keeps extending that 70.
And Hadassah was within 70 to
Ein. Well, if the line Ein Kerem Hadassah and so on is, if you keep drawing it across, it's nothing but 70. Nothing that's outside. It doesn't have to be 70 literally within that one, but 70 within the line. So each line now incorporates every house that's within, and now there's another house that's within 70. Because the line has been extended.
There's no space with less than 70.
There's plenty of space without 70. But the thing is, there's something here which may be a mile away from another house, but when you look at it from the air and you measure it from the line, it's still within 70.
Within those lines.
So it's very, very difficult to judge where your tchum is when you're leaving a city, unless you're in an airplane. That's why it's this is a serious, very serious issue, kids. You may be completely fooled, and your city may go on for miles, and you don't have even a clue, because you don't have a good sense of what the real map is of the city. This is why metropolitan areas today make it almost impossible, really, to be chutz l'tchum. Somewhere or other, there's always something that's jutting out. It kills the whole Yibur. The whole Yibur continues moving. So if you have a bayit nichnas and a bayit yotzei, or if you have a walled city, and you have a pogum in the wall nichnas, pogum yotzei, you have outside Yerushalayim. Yeah, you have those blitot for purposes of defense, where if somebody gets between you, you can shoot them. So you have a pogum yotzei, a pogum nichnas, that's how most learn the meaning of pogum. Or if you have even gedudiyot, v'ot asarat, if you have an area that was built originally as part of the city, or maybe was an ancient fort or something, and now it's ruins. Doesn't matter. It's a building. And if it's a building that was built for living, and even now it's a ruin, it's gavoh asarat tefachim. Or if you've got a bridge. Now, normally, if you have a bridge, you've got somebody that's standing there on the bridge who collects the tolls. So then it means it's a big dirah already, because he lives there to collect the tolls. Or if you have nifashot. Nifashot is a mark on a kever. We're making those little round things. So you often have people that will hang out in the kvarim, or you have a shomer on the kever. So there, if there's a beit dirah, motzinat amidah kenegdan. The whole midah of the city is extended, even through the beit hakvarot, because of this. And osinot hakamid tabla merubat. Then you make that city a square, and that way you're also kadeshin yiskarta zaviyot. You now have the additional advantage of having all that extra area on all the sides, like you pointed out. In other words, all that empty area between north and south is now all going to be included in your tabla merubat, and the tchum will extend 2,000 amot
from there,
also as a tabla merubat. In other words, you don't say, okay, I'm at the edge here, so let me just go 2,000 amot. No. The tchum now becomes a tabla merubat. So we will extend, if your 2,000 amot go here, your 2,000 amot go here, 2,000 amot go here, leaves all this space out. No. That's all included in the tchum, even though it's much further, because it's 2,800 amot from the corner of that square back to the wall of the city. It doesn't matter. That's all included in the tchum of the city. So the entire thing now becomes a tabla merubat. It's not that you start with a square. There's two steps here. You're ma'aber the city, so you start with a square. Now, if you start with a square, you can only walk 2,000 amot straight. So then imagine that square is like a box that you open now. The tops. You have a piece sticking out 2,000 amot here, 2,000 amot on the other side. Those are the flaps. But what about the area outside of the flaps? Those are the zaviot. So they get included now. So it means you have a tremendous additional area that's actually included in the city.
You have this radius all around you, is that what that is?
Right. You not only have, well, it's not a radius. No, here it's tabla merubat. But you not only have the ibra here that creates the box in the first place, but you also have the extension of the flaps of the city, which each one flapped out now. 2,000 amot, you still get the zaviot between an imaginary line that you continue to draw out the tchum. The tchum extended out an additional 2 kilometers after the invisible line, right? And then the tchum on the other side, if you measured it now from Gilo, also extended another 2,000 amot. The area now is drawn, we draw another line around the area, which starts off now 2,000 amot at the end. Maybe we have pictures.
And the
a box that opens, you don't know what the flaps look like?
The flaps?
Because the tchum are flaps. The tchum extends 2,000 amot. Are there any pictures? Did anybody look at any pictures of this stuff?
And you've added as much as 2,800 in those corners.
Right.
But no, why do you say that? You've added 2,800 in all directions, right?
Oh, here's a nice picture.
North south lines. You can't rotate those.
What page are we? Oh, these are more complicated. Simple one. Okay, here's some nice... but these are not really made for other markets. These look like nice greeting cards. This is where we're going. Yes, this is fine. Okay, so take a look at picture number one in this barrack. That gives you the Motzinat Amida idea, right?
Okay.
And then we have picture number two, which gives you picture number one.
What's that?
That's a house that's sticking out within 70. That's a problem, right?
The extra right? No,
this is the extra
forget 2000. About the 2,000. Let's take it step by step.
Okay.
Motzin et Amida. This illustrates Motzin Amida connected the house that extends the furthest, right?
So from here you measure. That's what I'm
talking. From the outer house.
From the outer house.
You draw a line out.
Then we talk about making a city that's kotzer mitzarech or rechava mitzarech. We make it square. That's your second thing, okay?
Yeah, we haven't done
that yet. All right, but it's the same idea. I mean, we spoke about that. Okay. Then we have over here, Ve'osino takamin tabla merubat means that we now have a square drawn around the circle that would have been the trum. So we get all of this area in the corners here. It now becomes part of the city.
From the edge of the city, we do 2,000 amas in all directions, right? Which gives us a circle?
But square.
And then we make...
We square it.
This we should ignore right now because Rashi complicates matters with the way that he does it, which we'll talk about. But the simplest nekuda is this here. It's this picture, number three, okay? Where we have over here 2,000 amot, 2,000 amot, 2,000 amot. Mm-hmm. The city itself, let's say, is 1,000 amot from north to south, okay? But from here to here is much more than 2,000 amot. So how do we have a right to walk there? So we drew a square around the city, whatever it is.
A square, 2,000 amot from each side.
If I was really, give me a pencil. If I was really a pencil, you know? If I was really opening up the city to the tomb, I would open it up like a box. I would have here this flap, and I would have here this flap, right? It would flap in, and then I would here this flap, and here I would have this one.
Why?
None of this I would have a right, because over here I wouldn't be allowed to walk.
But I'd be able to walk.
Okay, 2,000, that would be like this. Okay. That's what you do when you wrap a gift.
Okay.
It always comes out horrible, yeah, right?
It'll be circular. Yeah.
That's why Rashi takes the circle thing, but again, we'll get into this.
Well, that's what
I'm right now we're just starting. I mean, we're doing we ran through this mission because Sapachat doesn't allow us to come to a parak and not to begin it. So we came to a parak and we began it. Now we get into it. And now we'll get into it tomorrow.
About 8:15?
Approximately. Koro. As it says in the Mishnah, I keep telling you. The Ish HaRabayit would come by Krot HaGeber. Sometimes before, sometimes after, to keep them on their toes. If they're going to know exactly, then nobody's going to get themselves burned. Set their alarm clock and that'll be it. Certainly keeps Abba Josh on his toes.
Yeah,
he knows it's a losing battle. Wherever he comes earlier.
Good thing they made that.